If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to John chapter 12. We'll get there in just a minute. We are back to our series this morning. Do you remember? We're identifying the true Christianity. Really, better to say, we are ensuring that the Christianity we've embraced is the true, the real. The Christianity that has saving, acceptance by God, eternal life value. We're confronting whatever the fake and or the false. Remember, Christianity is under attack by the compromise of it. We're confronting whatever of the compromised Christianity, whatever of that that we've maybe taken hold of, whatever of that that we've maybe allowed into our lives, we're confronting that. The Christianity that hasn't been built according to code. The Christianity that produces no fruit, that walks, that lives still in the dark and in the death rather than the light and the life. We're evident in our lives. We're confronting the Christianity that has no value. We've determined to have nothing to do with that, to rid our lives entirely and completely of that. We're taking the test. We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking. We're asking for the ancient path. We're ensuring that the instruments of our faith and our Christianity are correctly calibrated. No drifting. Listen, my brother, my sister, no drifting, not in your life, not in mine. Listen, New Life, no drifting, not as a church. We can't. We won't. We're strengthening, we're reinforcing, we're shoring up the foundation of a biblical worldview. Never mind culture, never mind the supposed experts, never mind the government, not even the Supreme Court, never mind the superstar athletes, the Hollywood agenda, never mind all the influencers, never mind the opinion that's most likely to get you the most likes on social media. Never mind it all. For us, it's the Bible. Everything that is our lives, how we see life, how we define life, how we process life, everything that is our faith, everything that is our Christianity, we're ensuring that it's all built upon Scripture. It's all built on the Bible, God's Word. The truth. We're returning to the basics, if you will. The ABCs, if you will, of Christianity. This is what we're doing. What we've been doing going all the way back to January. This has been the purpose of really each and every message. And today, this message, it's the same. All that we're doing in and by way of this series, we do it this morning by this, by anchoring ourselves in Jesus. Of course that. Of course Jesus, right? Listen, it's Him, it's Jesus that makes the true Christianity to be the true. It's Him. When we stand on the ancient path and look for the ancient way, what we really do, we look simply for Him. We find where He is. That's the good and right way. That's where life is found, where peace and rest for our souls are found. In Him. It's Him. It's Jesus. The Holy Spirit's recalibrating work in and on us to keep us from drifting, to keep us from shipwrecking our faith, to keep us from jeopardizing our eternity. This is what the Spirit does. He glorifies Jesus. He makes us to see Jesus. He draws us to Jesus. It's Him. It's Jesus. Of course, it's Jesus. He's the foundation of any and everything related to our lives, related to our faith, related to our worldview. He's the foundation. He's the starting place and, in fact, the ending place for any and everything that is our Christianity, that is the true Christianity. It's Jesus. So this morning we turn to Him. We look to Him. We anchor ourselves in Him. In John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus says this, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." This morning, this is what we do. We lift Jesus up in this place. That's how we embrace the true and confront the false. That's the recalibration. That's the right worldview. That's the return we make to the basics, the ABCs of our Christianity. We turn to Him, to Jesus. We look to Him, to Jesus. We anchor ourselves in Him, in Christ, and in Christ alone. So this morning, Jesus, and this sort of the objective for us as we see Him revealed in Scripture, as we look to Him, set our hearts on Him, turn our eyes to Him, that as we do that, we encounter Him. We get a fresh glimpse of His glory, so that all over again, even as if it were the first time again, we are absolutely amazed by Him. George Friedrich Handel was a German-British musical composer, most known for his masterpiece, Messiah. It's only a part of it, but we better know the Messiah as the Hallelujah Chorus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Omnipotent, reigneth. Hallelujah. Whether it be the Messiah or any other of His composed pieces, whenever God was about to enter the scene, Handel queued up the trumpets. The trumpets played. The trumpets were heard. It was a sign. God had come near. Listen, this morning, it's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for me. Listen, New Life, it's my prayer for us that as we consider Jesus, we hear the trumpets. We used to sing it this way. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. We didn't often sing verse 2, but it goes like this. You are beautiful beyond description, yet God crushed you for my sin. In agony and deep affliction, cut off that I might enter in. Who can grasp such tender compassion? Who can fathom this mercy so free? You are beautiful beyond description, Lamb of God, who died for me. You remember it. And I stand in awe of you. That's it for us this morning. My prayer for you, my brother, my sister, your prayer for me, our prayer together for us as a church. We stand in awe of you again, Jesus, holy God, to whom all praise is due. We stand in awe of you. Or in fact, maybe the opposite, maybe so in awe of Him again, we don't stand at all. In John chapter 18 and verse 1, when He had finished praying, Jesus left with His disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and He and His disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed Him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with His disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to Him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. I am he, Jesus said. Really, it's this. You'll know this. You'll recognize this. Jesus said, I am. And when Jesus said that, they drew back and fell to the ground. This detachment of soldiers, the language used, this was a Roman cohort. It typically consisted of 480 soldiers with officers and support staff. The standard cohort usually totaled 600 men. Do you understand this morning? He doesn't do a thing. He just declares his name, that name that is above every other name. He just says, I am. And suddenly, amazed and in awe, overwhelmed, not one of those that came to arrest him can stand at all. In that, I'm reminded there's coming a day when it seems as it were, he's going to speak again. Jesus is going to declare again, I am. And at that, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, this morning, it's Jesus. We're going to hear the trumpets. Some of us, we're going to stand. Some of us might fall. We're going to be in awe of him, amazed by him again, as we see him again revealed to us from the pages of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, this the instruction to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. John the Baptist identified Jesus this way. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Do you understand? Listen, it'll sound weird, but you'll get it. This Jesus, he's Jesus. He's the Savior. Listen, because of him, you no longer have to ever be weighed or wore down by the worry of sin. He's taken away your sin. He's saved you from your sin. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, I'm telling you this so that you will stay away from sin. But if you do sin, there is someone to plead for you before the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the one who is all that is good and who pleases God completely. He's the one who took God's wrath against our sins upon himself and brought us into fellowship with God. And he is the forgiveness for our sins, and not only ours, but all the world. Your sin came with a penalty. God's wrath directed toward you. Your sin, the consequences for it, it's death. But Jesus, oh, do you understand this morning? Jesus, the Savior, he's the atoning sacrifice. He's the acceptable sacrifice. He's the perfect, once and for all, sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God. He took upon himself all your sin, all of God's wrath against you. He died for you so that you could be brought into fellowship with the Father and be forgiven, cleansed from all your sin. Jesus, the Savior, he was the redemption price for you, for buying you back from sin, from Satan, from death, hell, and the grave. And he freely gave himself so that you might be bought back, so that you might be redeemed. You owed a debt you could not pay. He paid the debt, your debt that he did not owe. And now you sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. Because though sin had left a crimson stain, he's washed you white as snow. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, he's made you to be a brand new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Listen, forgiven, brought into fellowship with God, adopted into his family, made to be his son, made to be his daughter, redeemed, made new, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus, and according to Romans 8, no longer in or under any condemnation, instead set free to live in victory, more than a conqueror over any temptation, over even every sin. Listen, no wonder this morning it's Jesus. No wonder this morning we lift Jesus up. Still from Matthew, the commentary on the angel's instruction to Joseph related to Jesus' birth. Matthew 1 and verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. One says this, when our sins made it impossible for us to come to God, God took the outrageous step of coming to us, of making himself susceptible to sorrow, familiar with temptation, and vulnerable to sin's disruptive power in order to cancel its claim. Listen, be reminded this morning, this your Jesus, he is Emmanuel. Because of him, listen, it's true, you are never alone. You are never on your own. He is God in flesh appearing. He is the God with us God. He's ever with you, never leaving you, never failing you or forsaking you. And listen, when it seems impossible for you to come to him, listen, he comes to you. He is with you. Jacob lied to his father. He cheated his brother. He ran away from home. He ran away from God. On the run, he came to a certain place where he stopped for the night. A stone for his pillow. He slept. He dreamt. A stairway to heaven. Angels ascending and descending. Then the Lord there beside him, promising to make Jacob and his descendants a great people. To Jacob the deceiver, I am with you. I'll watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you. In response to that, one writes this, the fugitive had not been abandoned. Had Jacob done anything to show he was worthy of the blessing? No. He leaked integrity. God did not turn away, however, from the one who had turned away from him. He was faithful, and he still is. Then Jacob took the stone he had used for his pillow and stood it up as a memorial pillar and poured oil over it. He christened the place Bethel, God's house. The author concludes, what is your version of a stone pillow? What reminds you of mistakes you've made or things you've lost? A divorce decree? A headstone? What is your version of a desert? An empty house? A hospital room? A desktop of unpaid bills? The promise of Jacob and Bethel is this. Jesus is in the wilderness, in the despair, in the misery, the mess, the mayhem, and the broken heart. Emmanuel, the God with us God, he will meet you. He will speak. Angels will come, and you will soon declare. Oh, listen, my brother, my sister, you will soon declare, the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Listen, hear the trumpets this morning. Whatever you're going through, wherever you are, whether you know it or not, Jesus, because he is Emmanuel, he is in that place. Also, according to the prophet Isaiah, Jesus, he is the wonderful counselor. He's the incarnation of perfect wisdom. Listen, you want to listen to his counsel. You want to adhere. Listen, my brother, my sister, you want to follow. You want to obey his counsel. It's better. Listen, far, 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 far better than any that you'd ever get from anyone or anywhere else. He is the Almighty God, the creator of the universe God, the all-knowing God, the always present with us God, the omnipotent, all-powerful God. Nothing too hard, nothing too impossible for him, not for Jesus. He's the everlasting Father who loves us, who cares for us, who protects us. He's our rock and our refuge, our deliverer, our fortress and our strong tower. He longs to have relationship with us. His desire to be in constant communion with Him, closer to Him, ever and ever closer to Him. He goes with us, promises to ever be with us. He graciously and compassionately and so, so carefully watches over us. You are, my brother, you are, my sister, you are. I am the apple of His eye. He knows you. Yes, He does. Listen, my brother, my sister, He knows you by name, the number of hairs even on your head. A mother, impossible for her to forget the baby at her breast. But even if she could, Jesus would never, could never forget you. He guides us, leads, and directs us, sometimes disciplines us. He graciously, He benevolently, generously supplies all our needs. Jesus, He is the wonderful counselor. He is the almighty God. He is the everlasting Father. And oh, listen, He is the Prince of Peace. In Hebrew, He's the Sar Shalom. The Sar, He's the one in charge. He's the captain. He's the Lord. He's the chief. The Shalom, that's rest. That's tranquility. That's wholeness and completeness. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. He is the captain of rest. He's the Lord of tranquility. He's the chief of contentment. He's the Prince of Peace. He is your peace. Do you understand? Listen, this Jesus, because He is Emmanuel, because He's God with us, all that He is always with and available to you. Because of that, listen, you need never live outside His counsel, outside, beyond the miraculous help of His power, outside, beyond the reach of His fatherly care or the comfort of His rest and peace. Do you understand? Listen, come on now. Some of you, you're hearing some trumpet sounds, aren't you? You got to be hearing some trumpet sounds. My brother, my sister, you're wanting to stand in awe of Him, aren't you? At the mere mention of His name, all that He is. Maybe are you feeling the ground starting to tremble beneath you? Knees feeling a little wobbly and a little shaky. In John, Jesus identifies Himself this way. He is the bread of life. For His audience, bread was substantially different than it is today. It wasn't an appetizer. It wasn't something with which to better enjoy the meal. It was the meal. You need food to live. In Jesus's day, the food was the bread. You needed the bread to live. Listen, if you want to live spiritually, if you want to live the abundant life, real life, more and better life, listen, He is the bread of life. Many things can maybe fill you. He is the only one who can fulfill you. He is the one and only one who satisfies, who truly satisfies. One says it like this: nothing on this planet can fill you up enough so that you have no need of God. You were not made to get your fulfillment from this world. You were made for another world. Jesus must be your fulfillment. Only Jesus can be your fulfillment each and every day. He's the light of the world. He's the light that vanquishes the darkness brought on by sin. He's the light that shows us the way from darkness to light, from death to life. He's the door. Shepherds would bring their sheep through an opening into a three-walled sort of enclosure for the night. And the shepherd then would lie down across that entryway to keep the sheep from roaming in the night. Some of you are here this morning, your life saved, kept from what would have been tragic, devastating mistakes. Listen, because Jesus is the door that kept you from leaving the fold and wandering back out into the darkness of the night. The shepherd, he was there to keep the sheep in, but also, of course, to keep out the wolves. Do you understand? Nothing got to the sheep except that first it had to go through the shepherd. Listen, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour and destroy you. But my brother, my sister, be comforted, be encouraged this morning, because Jesus, he is the door for you, the door that keeps the devil out and away from you. He's the good shepherd. And because he is, listen, you shall not want. You know it. You will lie down in green pastures, beside quiet waters. Listen, he will restore your soul, guide you in paths of righteousness, be the rod and the staff that comforts you, even in the valley of the shadow of death. He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He will anoint your head with oil. Listen, your cup will overflow, and goodness and love and mercy and grace will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell with him now, and one day in his house you will live forever. He's the resurrection and the life. I always tell you the story of my mom, December 1st, 1999. My dad, sister, two brothers, myself, gathered in her hospital room, and the retired missionary that none of us really knew, not that well, not well enough for him to stay put in the room with us. In the very last moments of my mom's life, he didn't belong. This was a private and intimate family moment. He shouldn't have been there, but he didn't leave. And then my mom breathed her last breath here, and the man had the audacity to speak up. And when he, the retired missionary, the near stranger to us all, the one that didn't belong, when he did, his voice became the sweetest sound in the room, in the hospital room, in that moment of death. He spoke life, resurrection life. All these years later, I still can see it so clearly. Us in the room, gathered around my mom's bed, him behind us all, back towards the door, and I still hear his voice. I hope, I know, I'll never forget it. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Listen, how comforting to know that Jesus is not just with us in life, but also in death. And that in death, he's with us, the resurrection and the life. For that, Christians, you know it. We don't die. No, no way. We live. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, he's not one of many ways. He's the only way. One says it this way. The issue is not how many ways lead to God. The issue is that God gave us the way to God. We now know how to get to heaven. God made it simple. The problem is that men do not want simplicity. They want autonomy. If there were 1,000 ways to God, man would want and demand and propose way number 1,001. Have you seen the coexist bumper sticker? It takes the word, and instead of normal written letters, it incorporates symbols. A crescent moon for Islam, a Star of David for Judaism. Symbols for Hinduism and Taoism are included as well. Even a pentacle, symbol for Wicca, neo-paganism, the occult. And then the last letter, a T, a cross for Christianity. Its message, all religions ultimately are the same. And shouldn't we then all be able to get along with each other? Listen, listen to your pastor this morning. Listen to the truth. It's nonsense. Christianity cannot be reconciled with any other religion. Listen, and it's Jesus' fault. He made it to be that way when he declared he and only he is the way, the truth, and the life. Near the end of his life, the exiled Emperor Napoleon had a conversation with one of his generals about the deity of Christ. The general said, "I cannot conceive, sire, how a great man like you can believe the supreme being ever exhibited himself to men under a human form with a body, a face, mouth, and eyes. Let Jesus be whatever you please, the highest intelligence, the purest heart, the most profound legislator, and in all respects, the most singular being who has ever existed. I grant it. Still, he was simply a man who taught his disciples and deluded credulous people." To this, Napoleon responded, "I know men, and I tell you, Christ was not a man. Superficial minds see a resemblance between Christ and the founders of empires and the gods of other religions. That resemblance does not exist. There is between Christianity and all other religions the distance of infinity." Do you understand this morning? Listen, Christianity has Jesus. Christianity is all about encountering Jesus, and there's no one like Jesus. And for that, any other religion, any other thing, it's as far from Christianity as one side of infinity is from the other. He is the way, the only way. He is the truth, the only truth. And he is the life, the only life. He is the true vine. He's the one that keeps us flourishing and fruit-bearing. It's in him and because of him that our lives take on an eternal purpose, bearing much fruit, all for the Father's glory. In Matthew 11, to all who are weary and burdened, Jesus extends an invitation to come to him because he, Jesus, he's gentle and humble in heart, and he gives to you and to me rest for our souls. Jesus, he's our baptizer. He gives to us, he fills us, he empowers us, he anoints us with his Holy Spirit. One writes this, "One day while studying for a message, I read the words Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit, comforter and friend. I recall having this wonderful realization, I know that person. That was 3 decades ago. I no longer think of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Who. I now call him our heaven-sent helper. He is the ally of the saint. He's our champion, our advocate, our guide. He comforts and directs us. He indwells, transforms, sustains, and will someday deliver us into our heavenly home. He's the executor of God's will on earth today, here to infuse us with strength. Supernatural strength," the author concludes. Mark it down. "The Holy Spirit comes with power, power to make good choices, keep promises, silence the inner voices of fear and failure, power to get out of bed, get on with life, get busy about the right things in the right way, power to face the unexpected, unwanted passages of time. Power. This is what Jesus promised then, and this is what Jesus promises still in the gift of his Holy Spirit. All of that made available to us because Jesus, he is our baptizer, the one who immerses us in all that his Spirit is. In Hebrews, Jesus, he's the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being. He's the creator and the sustainer of all things. Jesus, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our great high priest. He's the one who sympathizes with our weaknesses, the one who understands. Listen, my brother, my sister, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is you're going through, he gets it. He gets us. He's the one by whom we have access to the throne of grace. He's the one who there grants to us his mercy so that we receive his help in our time of need. Jesus, he's our advocate. By definition, he's the one who comes alongside of us to help us, to plead our case and our cause, to defend us, to maintain and sustain, to support and promote. He's our advocate before the Father. All that, it's what he does for us. Listen, my brother, my sister, it's what he does for you. Jesus is our great physician. One writes this, nothing stumped him. Not blindness, mental illness, lameness, deafness, or even death. Every ailment yielded to his undeniable power, and every healing served as evidence that his kingdom was breaking into our fallen world. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, a man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. My brother, my sister, listen, how about this morning? Rather than weighed down and wore down by the worry of your ailment, your sickness, your suffering, your pain, how about this? Be in awe of him. Be in awe of Jesus, who is filled with compassion, who is willing, who is able, who but only has to speak the word and the sickness will have to go and the healing come. In Revelation, we read this of Jesus. Revelation 1 and verse 8, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Listen, he was there in the beginning and he will be there in the end. In Revelation 19, we read he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. In Revelation 17, the kingdom of the beast will make war against Jesus, against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome him and all his armies. Of course he will, because he, the Lamb, it's Jesus, and Jesus, he is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He has all authority. He has all power. He will triumph. He will rule and reign. You know, this is true. This world is for sure a mess. And this as well, you know it. We are approaching the end of the world as we know it. And the picture presented in Scripture of the end, it's not pretty. As Jesus describes the end, he speaks of a worldwide deception, a deception that will be demonically empowered and most effective, as many will fall prey to the lies. There'll be nation rising up against nation, people against people, wars and rumors of wars on a scale that far exceeds anything we've ever seen and we've ever known before. There'll be devastation, earthquakes and famines, pestilence. Ultimately, all of that leading to a one world government, a one world economy, a one world religion, the rise of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. According to Jesus, these are the headlines we can expect, more and more of that as we get closer and closer to the end. And the people, listen to how Paul describes them. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Listen, the evidence is all around us. The world is getting closer and closer to the end. The world and its people, just like he said, it and they would be watching it all unfold before our very eyes. That'll bring a sense of frustration and fear if we're not careful. Anger, discouragement. Listen, the wrong perspective related to it all, it'll make you worry. Be weighed and worn down because you are. But my brother, my sister, listen, you ought not be weighed down. You ought to instead be cheered up by and because of Jesus. Listen, he is the Alpha and the Omega. To him belongs the final victory over evil and the rulership over all things. He's the living one who was dead but is now alive and who holds the keys of death and Hades. He's the one who is holy, faithful, and true. He is the Lamb. Oh, but listen, he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one who is worthy, worthy to receive glory and honor and praise and power, worthy because he's purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. He's the one to whom salvation belongs. He's the one who will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. He's the one who is the rapturer of his church. All the judgment, the trouble, tribulation of the end. Oh, listen, but my brother, my sister, because of Jesus, you've not been appointed to wrath, but rather to rapture. You can be cheered up this morning as you look up. Listen, knowing that he, Jesus, your redemption is drawing nigh. He's the one who makes all things new. He's the one who is coming soon. We could go on and on forever. We can't. We have to be done. Truth be told, all that this morning, we haven't even scratched the surface of Jesus, knowing him, who he is, all that he is. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles, listen now, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Some translations say the endless riches, the boundless riches, the immeasurable, inexhaustible, and infinite riches. I like how one translation simply sums it all up. Jesus, he's just too great to understand fully. We don't have time this morning for it all. If we did, we talk more of Jesus, the father to the orphan, the husband to the widow. In the darkness of uncertainty, he's the bright and morning star. In our wilderness wandering, he's the cloud by day and the fire by night. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the honey in the rock. God's unexpected blessing, his spiritual sustenance, his miraculous provision. Listen, he's the sweetness God brings to your soul, even in the most difficult of times. He's the table prepared in the presence of mine enemies. He's the King of glory. He's the pearl of great price. He's the rock in a weary land. He's the rod and staff that comforts me. He's Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God, my Savior, my companion, my friend that sticks closer than a brother, my Lord, my God, and my King. We don't have time this morning. If we did, we'd talk all about Jesus, the one who astounds and confounds. One simply calls him the greatest man in history. Who is he? Who is Jesus? In chemistry, he turned water to wine. In biology, he was born without the normal conception. In physics, he disproved the law of gravity when he ascended into heaven. In economics, he disproved the law of diminishing return by feeding 5,000 men with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. In medicine, he cured the sick and the blind without administering a single dose of drugs. In history, he's the beginning and the end. In government, he's the wonderful counselor, and he's the Prince of Peace. In religion, he's the only way to the Father. So who is he? He is Jesus, the greatest man in history. He had no servants, yet they called him master. Had no degree, yet they called him teacher. Had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. Hallelujah! He's Jesus. We have to stop. We don't have time this morning. If we did, we'd talk all about Jesus, more about Jesus. He is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He is eternally steadfast. He's immortally gracious. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizons of the globe. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. Hallelujah. He's the captive's ransom. Yes, he is. He's the breadth of life. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He is unparalleled and unprecedented, undisputed and undefined, unsurpassed and unshakable. He is the lofty idea in philosophy. He is the highest personality in psychology. He's the supreme subject in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the cornerstone, the capstone, and the stumbling stone of all religion. He's the miracle of the ages. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He forgives and he forgets. He creates and he cleanses. He restores and he rebuilds. He heals and he helps. He reconciles and he redeems. He comforts and he carries. He lives and he loves. He's the God of the second chance, the fat chance, the slim chance, and the no chance. Hallelujah. You ought to be hearing some trumpets about now, my brother, my sister. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He's the key to knowledge. He's the fountain of life. He's the wellspring of joy. He's the storehouse of wisdom. He's the foundation of faith. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway to peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the gateway to glory. He's the highway to happiness. He supplies strength to the weary. He increases power to the faint. He offers escape to the tempted. He sympathizes with the hurting. He saves the hopeless. He shields the helpless. He sustains the homeless. He gives purpose to the aimless, reason to our meaninglessness, fulfillment to our emptiness. He gives light in the darkness, comfort in the loneliness, fruit in the barrenness, future to the hopeless, and life to the lifeless. He guards the young. He seeks the stray. He finds the lost. He guides the faithful. He rights the wronged. He defends the weak. He comforts the oppressed. He welcomes the prodigal. He heals the sick. He cleanses the dirty. He beautifies the meek. He restores the failure. He mends the broken. He blesses the poor. He fills the empty. He clothes the naked. He satisfies the hungry. He elevates the humble. He forgives the sinner and he raises the dead. His life is matchless and his goodness is limitless. His mercy is enough and his grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's indestructible. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's inescapable. He's irresistible. He's irrefutable. I can't get him out of my mind and I can't get him out of my heart. I can't outlive him and I can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. The family couldn't stop him. Satan tried to tempt him but found he couldn't trip him. Pilate examined him but could find no fault with him. Death couldn't handle him. Oh, hallelujah. And the grave couldn't hold him. He had no predecessor and would have no successor. He's the lion and the lamb. He is God and he is man. He is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. The author concludes, oh, give me Jesus. Please just give me Jesus. We have to stop for real now. Listen, even still, it's just the beginning. Because the riches of Jesus, who he is, all that he is, those riches are unsearchable, endless and boundless, immeasurable, inexhaustible and infinite. Jesus, listen, he is too great to understand fully. Before we pray, let me leave you with this, our response to Jesus. How about like Paul responded, Philippians chapter 3, I want to know Christ. I want to know this Jesus. Can I encourage you this morning, know Jesus? Let everything in your life, everything of this world, let it all be counted as rubbish for the sake of knowing him. Do you know him, my friend? Are you in relationship with him, my brother, my sister? Have you counted it all, anything and everything else, counted it all as rubbish for the sake of knowing him? Listen, let all of us know him. Know Jesus. Let all of us, let's know him more and more and better and better. How about like John did in Revelation 22 and verse 20? He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. And John replies, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You know him. You know who he is. Listen, let him come in. Let him come into your heart. Let him come into every aspect of your life. Listen, my brother, my sister, let there be nothing that's off limits to him. Let him be the Lord over everything that is you. Let him bring his change and his transformation to you. How about this? We respond to Jesus like John the Baptist did. In John chapter 3, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. The Good News translation says it this way, he must become more important while I become less important. Listen, make him to be greater and greater, more and more important to you and in you. This is my thought related to that. It speaks to a need in my own life, but maybe for you as well, my brother, my sister. Listen, say yes to Jesus. More and more, say yes to him. Listen, more and more, say no to self. Say no to this world. Say no to the sin. How about like Isaiah, we see him high and lifted up. In awe of him, amazed, mesmerized by him, our hearts captivated again by the beauty, the majesty, the wonder of our Lord. How about we end where we began? But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Listen, my brother, my sister, let Jesus be lifted up. Let Jesus be glorified and exalted in you so that he might draw you to himself. Listen, my brother, my sister, listen, New Life. Let Jesus be lifted up, glorified and exalted in you so that he might draw others to himself through you, through us. This morning, Jesus, just Jesus. Listen, can I ask you this morning, my brother, my sister, do you hear the trumpets? Do you sense the ground trembling? Are you in awe of him? I pray that you would be. Father, would you take my words and make them to come alive in the heart of my brother, my sister this morning? Jesus, no words read from a page of sermon notes is going to change any heart, it's going to change any life in this room. But Jesus, you come and you reveal yourself to my brother, my sister this morning. Holy Spirit, you come, you turn our eyes to Jesus, you glorify Jesus, you lift up Jesus in our hearts, and we will be amazed. We will be in awe again. So, Father, would you do that this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name. I'm so glad to be back in the sanctuary. For this reason, we can come to the altar. This morning, before I pray the blessing of the Lord over you, would you come to the altar and meet with Jesus? Come on, let's find a place of prayer just for a few minutes. I'm going to pray the blessing of the Lord over you in just a minute, but I want to invite you to come. Find a place of prayer. Meet with the Lord this morning. Let Jesus reveal himself to you. Lord, we come. We come to meet with you, Jesus. We come that you might open our eyes to see Jesus this morning. Lord, Lord, we come to meet with Jesus. We come that you might open our eyes so that we see you, that you might turn our hearts to you. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we want to know you. We want to know Jesus. That's our heart's desire this morning. Let there be a cry that echoes from this place. Oh, please give me Jesus, more and more of Jesus. My brother, my sister, make that your cry. Oh God, would you bless us with more and more the presence of the Lord. Open our eyes. Open the eyes of my brother. Open the eyes of my sister this morning. Let them see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make us to be amazed by you, Jesus. Make us to be in awe of you, Lord. It's our prayer this morning. Jesus, Jesus, we long for you. We want you, Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning. The Spirit speaking to your heart, all that Jesus would be for you. Listen, embrace that this morning. Say yes to Jesus. Listen, some of you here at this altar, He wants to be your healer this morning. He wants to speak to the sickness. Be gone and healing come. Listen, receive His healing this morning. I wonder, some in this room, some at this altar, He wants to fill you with the Spirit. He wants to immerse you. He wants to baptize you in His Holy Spirit. Listen, say yes to Jesus. Let Him be your baptizer this morning, my brother, my sister. Let Him be your great high priest. Let Him speak His comfort. Let Him speak His help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Him be the honey in the rock. The sweetness that God brings to your soul in this difficult season for you. Say yes to Jesus. Let Jesus come this morning. Let Him be high and lifted up in your heart and in your life. Oh, Jesus, we're amazed. Jesus, we're in awe of you. Hallelujah. My brother, my sister, let your heart be captivated. Let your heart be captivated again, afresh and anew by this Jesus, the great I am. Let your heart be captivated by Him, amazed by Him, in awe of Him.
By you, Lord, I'm amazed by you.
Our desire, Jesus, is to be with you. Our desire this morning, a fresh glimpse of your glory. Oh, it's the longing of this pastor's heart. I believe it. It's the longing of this people's heart. I know it is. Surely it is. It must be. A fresh glimpse of your glory. We hear of Jesus this morning, and there's a longing that stirs within us to know Him more, to know Him better, to experience Him, to see Him again. Hallelujah. Jesus, minister in this place to your people. Jesus, the power, the wonder, the glory of your presence. Our heart's desire, Lord, it's you. Our heart's desire, it's you. about this, my brother, my sister, maybe just for a moment. Jesus, I'm sorry. I tried to find fulfillment in other things. I thought it was the money. I thought it was the job. I thought it was the relationship. I thought it was the stuff. I got distracted. I thought those things would fulfill. And so, Jesus, I put you on the back burner, as it were. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I saw wrong. I thought wrong. Only you, Jesus. Only you can fulfill. Only you can satisfy. Would you stand to your feet? Would you just lift your hands to heaven? Maybe you know these words. Maybe you would just echo them. It's true. There's none like you, Jesus. Make it personal. Make it your prayer. Make it your worship. No one, no one, Jesus. No one does for me like you do for me. It's true. It's true. Hallelujah.
I could search for all eternity and find there.
Hallelujah. Listen, my brother, my sister, this the more of Jesus. Why, there's none like him. His mercy, his grace. This the why, there's no one like him. We're safe. He makes us to be safe. He protects us, he watches over us. This is more of Jesus. This is why we sing. This is why we worship. There's no one like him. There's no one, Jesus, like you. Hallelujah.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like.
Lord, we declare it this morning. We've heard it. There's a realization in our hearts, the truth we've heard this morning. Jesus. Oh, the wonder of Jesus. We hear the trumpets. Help us to never stop hearing them. We stand in awe. Help us to never stop standing. We're shaken to the very core of our being. This Jesus. Oh, help it to never change. The mere mention of your name makes the ground beneath us to tremble. Help it always to be that way. I pray it for each one in this room. I pray it for me. I pray it for Jenny. I pray it for my children. Oh, let it always be about Jesus. Let it always be about Jesus. I pray it for my brother, for my sister. Always Jesus, just Jesus, only even Jesus. I pray that this morning. Lord, in Jesus' name, help us to hear, to not soon forget what your Spirit speaks to us today about Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Now lift your hands to receive his blessing this morning. Would you do that? As under shepherd of the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly, listen, this the word and the will of the Lord. Listen, that you as people be blessed, that before you walk out those doors, you receive his blessing, so that when you walk out those doors, you walk out in the blessing of the Lord. Listen now, the Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, my brother, my sister, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.